Please welcome Elon Musk.
Welcome. Well, I feel welcome. So, well, it's great to see everyone here. welcome to Giga Texas. All right, so let's see. I'll go over, kind of recount the year. It's been an amazing year. The Tesla team has done amazing work. And I have to say, like, one of the things that I was like, what do you enjoy most in life? I really, being able to work with a super talented group of people and to create great products and manufacture those products and deliver them to people and make people happy from those products, that's one of the best things in life. So, I'd just like to say what an honor it is to work with such a talented team at Tesla, and that's the reason we've been able to do all these things. So, we're aiming to achieve a 2 million vehicle run rate by the end of the year. This is the best crowd. I mean, I love you guys too. So, thanks to the hard work of the Tesla team, we've already been able to achieve a 1.5 million unit annualized run rate. And depending on how the rest of this year goes, I think we might get close to, or we'll get approximately at the 1.5 million mark. And be exiting the year at a 2 million unit run rate. And then also worth noting, just recently in the last a few weeks, we made our 3 millionth car. So, yeah. You know, it's pretty wild to think, like, 10 years ago, where things were. You know, 10 years, August 2012, we'd made 2,500 Roadsters, and I think maybe a couple of hundred Model S's-ish, but less than 3,000 cars. So 10 years ago, we'd made less than 3,000 cars, and here we stand 10 years later, having made over 3 million. And actually, this is one of the cleanest exponentials I've, you know. It looks like one of those sort of, business plan presentation things that doesn't actually come true, but, you know, you see it in the venture capital business plan situation. But it's actually true. That's the amazing part. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing okay on demand. Thank you. So, yeah, it's great here. I love California too, to be frank. I'm going to be clear. Oh, come on. we got great teams in California, and we got a great team in China and Shanghai, and a great team in Berlin and Germany and Europe. It's so. Yeah. And I thought it's interesting to look at the cumulative profitability since inception. And this approximately tracks to sort of mental pain, actually. This psychic damage. That green curve is approximately correct. I'm just very proud of the fact that we've actually been able to produce more cash than we have spent, and have positive retained earnings and be worth our salt, essentially. And that's a really big deal, and it's very hard. So, I mean, this is a big deal, and I think it's going to go up from here. So, you can see we obviously had some challenges there in 2017, but since then our free cash flow generation has been very good and trending upwards, and this is really before autonomy really kicks in. We have autonomy to some degree, solving autonomy will really be an amplification of free cash flow to a degree that is, you know, you run the numbers and it's like, wow, can it really be that crazy? But it could be that crazy. You know, this year, I swear. We got anyone here in the FSD beta program? Yeah! Sweet. Yeah, no, totally. Okay, well, I thought... All right. I thought you might ask that. Because it's 10.13 we've been working on for a while, and actually, what's sort of happened is we've made some pretty significant architectural improvements. So it's really going to be more than a 10.12 to 10.13 release. It might, I don't want to speak too soon, it might qualify for 10.69. So it's got to earn that, obviously. Can't just throw that out, you know. There's a lot of improvements, especially in complex left turns. Yeah, we're going to solve Chuck's turn. Yes, 100%. Absolutely. We have a lot of respect for valid criticism. I think we're at roughly 90% success rate with your turn. So, yeah, we're almost at 100. So it's looking good, and I'm hopeful. It might be a week next week. So 2 weeks. It's working well for me. So anyway, teams like working literally 7 days a week and making major improvements. And it's really interesting because we're effectively solving an important aspect of artificial intelligence, real-world AI for self-driving, which, when you think about it, kind of is what's needed to solve self-driving. Because how is the road system designed? It's designed for a biological neural net and eyes. And so naturally, the thing that would therefore work the silicon analog is cameras and silicon neural nets. And so sort of by accident, we're actually solving an important, I think, very useful element of artificial intelligence. And I definitely want people out there, you know, talented people who are working on AI to consider working at Tesla, because I think we're solving just a very important part of AI and one that can ultimately save millions of lives and prevent tens of millions of serious injuries by driving just an order of magnitude safer than people. And, you know, there used to be a time back in the day where we'd have, this is super important. I mean, there used to be a time when we'd have elevator operators, and it was normal to have elevator operators and have like a big relay and stuff. But you know, every now and again, you make a mistake and shear somebody in half. So I'd be like, oh, okay. Then we went to automated elevators, and you press a button, and you go to your floor, and it just works. And that's kind of how it's going to be in the future with cars. And then we'll have lots of interesting things to say on AI Day at the end of next month. So I'll leave that to next month. Yeah. So when we started out here, obviously we were told electric cars were impossible, and even if you could make an electric car with a couple hundred miles range, then nobody would buy it anyway because people just love gasoline cars. So when we started out, it was dumb to start a car company, and then dumb squared to do an electric car company. And we were told, you're never going to make money, et cetera. And we didn't for a while, but now we have the highest operating margin in the whole industry. So. Exactly. Exactly. Tesla is not just a car company. Tesla is many companies in one, and we're as much a software company as we are a hardware company. And that's really going to be obviously essential for the future. And software, both in the car and obviously with neural net training, but also software in the factory as well. So you can think of the factory as a giant cybernetic collective. So factories are just an enormous cybernetic collective of humans and machines and software. And the better the software is, the better that cybernetic collective works. I don't think other OEMs think like that. But that's what it is. There's a lot of talk of competition among electric vehicles. But really, the EVs are, electric vehicles are taking a market share from gasoline cars. And from a Tesla standpoint, we obviously welcome this, and we're very excited to see that the big car companies are embracing electric vehicles. If you were to rewind their press releases to 5 years ago, that was not the case. They were, not saying nice things about electric vehicles five years ago. But now, I believe almost every major car company in the world has embraced electrification and agrees that it is the right path. And this is really what we set out to do with Tesla. It was not to get maximum market share or anything. It was really to show the auto industry that it was possible to go electric, and that if you made compelling electric cars, people would buy them. And that's what's happened, and I think that's really profound. So, yeah. Also, when our competitors advertise for electric vehicles, every time they do that, our sales go up. it's pretty funny. But we do we have open sourced all our patents, so they can use our patents for free, and so we're helping out, and I think it's sort of a mutual prosperity thing, and it's good. So. So Model Y. Definitely don't want to count chickens until they're hatched, but I think we're tracking to have Model Y be the highest selling vehicle by revenue this year, and the highest by unit volume next year. So. Still a lot of work to do. These factories don't just magically work. Still a lot of work to do in Berlin and here in Austin to spool up these two gigafactories. And we've got different supply chains, and so it's always there's a host of problems. None of the problems are individually all that difficult, but there's 10,000 of them. So. It's the rate of production is how fast can you solve the 10,000 problems, essentially. And we're solving them pretty fast, but a lot of work to do. And we might be able to announce another factory location later this year. Where should we? Okay, where should we build it? Okay, we got a lot of Canadas. I'm half Canadian, so maybe I should, I think, ultimately we'll end up building, probably at least 10 or 12 gigafactories. And there will be really gigafactories, aiming for average output of 1.5 to 2 million units per factory, which is enormous. So, our Fremont factory in California is already the highest output factory in North America. So, sorry?
How long before Giga Texas takes the crown?
Well, I think we'll have a friendly competition between Texas, California, Berlin. Shanghai is hard to beat, I have to say. Shanghai is a pretty, our Shanghai team is just awesome. So, anyway. great team there. So, with respect to, sometimes you get this sort of, these bogus attacks of EVs are somehow worse than gasoline cars, which is not true. The average life cycle emissions of an EV are dramatically lower than that of a gasoline car. I'm kind of telling you things you already know. But every now and again, you think surely this nonsense has been put to bed, but it pops up again. But it's obviously an electric car is just dramatically lower CO2 lifetime than a gasoline car. That's kind of obvious. Now this is a thing that I think is super cool. If you add up all the energy produced over the last 10 years by Tesla solar panels, it is more energy than was used to manufacture all of our cars and charge all of our cars at superchargers and at home. The mission of Tesla is to accelerate sustainability, and I think this is really amazing, more energy produced than was used in making the car and charging them over billions of miles. So, and we're going to keep obviously increasing our solar activity and vehicles and try to keep these on par. Because the three elements of a sustainable energy future are sustainable energy production, primarily with solar and wind, and then stationary battery packs to store the sustainable energy because of its wind and solar are intermittent, and then electric transport. And if you have those three pillars, you have a fully sustainable future. So. And obviously, battery packs are various recyclable. You can think of it like high-grade ore. Do you want to, crunch up a bunch of rocks or crunch up a battery pack, which is like super high-grade ore? So it's a no-brainer to recycle battery packs. And we are already recycling. I should point this out. Sometimes people wonder what's happening. We're already recycling at over 50 a week in Nevada. So Tesla battery recycling is already underway, has been underway, and is scaling up. Now, cars are lasting quite a long time, so there's not that many batteries to actually recycle because you kind of have to typically wait like 12 years or something, like quite a long time before the battery actually is no longer useful, sometimes 15 years. So recycling starts off small, but then it becomes very significant long term. So, some factory footage, obviously. Just 50 packs a week. Yeah. So, that's what I was saying. Like, there's actually just not that many packs to recycle because there's not, but the vast majority of them are still in use. Sorry? Oh, yes, exactly. Mass Plan 3. Where is that thing? So Mass Plan 3 is going to be fundamentally about scaling. Just looking at the overall problem from a global macroeconomic standpoint and saying, what are all the things that are needed to achieve a fully sustainable economy? Because I think a lot of people don't know. What tonnage of lithium, of cathode, anode, separator, electrolyte, electronics, what are all the things that are needed, what are all the things that need to be done in order to transition to a fully sustainable global economy, which I think, the sooner we do that, the better for the planet. And I think just articulating that and just making it clear that this is absolutely doable and it is being done, and we just want it to be done as fast as possible. Because I think a lot of times, I meet a lot of people out there who have lost hope. They think it's too late, and they think there's no chance, and the Earth is doomed. It's like, it's not doomed. Okay, it's. Earth can and will be saved. Yeah. So, in addition to battery advancements and electronics advancements and AI, we've also done a lot to simplify the structure of cars, to make it easier to manufacture. And one of the things we've done is create the largest castings that have ever been done. And they're very complex castings. And so we're able to take 171 pieces of metal and go from 171 pieces to two. And in the process, make it lighter, stiffer, with better ride handling, better noise, vibration, harshness, better sealing against water. So it's really better in every way. And yeah, so. And we're going to keep enhancing the casting. So this is a testament to our materials team and to our casting technology. So we're really rethinking the whole way in which a car is made. And it's it's a gigantic improvement. We have at this point from say Model S or even Model 3, we're at about 30% of the robots used for Model 3 for a current Model Y. So, yeah. We've also improved the layout of the factory. So the factory is sort of a single, close to a single monolithic factory with a very straightforward flow. Fremont, we do a lot in Fremont, but the flow is complex and it's not an easy flow. So we're really rethinking the factory. And I think if the really long-term sustainable advantage of Tesla will be manufacturing. I mentioned this before, but obviously everyone will have electric cars. All manufacturers will have electric cars. Eventually, it'll probably take longer than they think, but eventually all cars will be self-driving. And the thing that will be hardest to replicate is Tesla's manufacturing technology. So this is actually very important from a long-term standpoint. When thinking about the competitiveness of companies, especially if the companies are technology companies, I recommend looking at where the smartest engineers want to work. This is wherever the smartest engineers want to work. That's going to be that technology company is going to be the one that is likely to succeed. Just like if it's a pro sports team, where are the ace players going? Okay, probably that team will win. So we put a lot of effort into ensuring that the best engineers in the world want to work at Tesla. And frankly, sometimes Tesla's number one, sometimes SpaceX number one. But so this was just like last year. We do actually, for those curious and maybe want to work at either SpaceX or Tesla, we do allow people to move from one company to the other if they would like. So if you want to spend a bit of time working on electric vehicles, a bit of time spending working on rockets, you can. That's cool. We support that. So, yeah. And we've also made a lot of improvement with factory safety. So we believe we now have the best factory safety in the industry, and we're excited to have very good safety and getting better. So, yeah. And a bunch of this is driven by just encouraging people within the factory to submit ideas for safety improvement. And we've passed our goal of 3 suggestions per employee in this year. And this really is a game changer for improving safety. So, and yeah. You don't have to clap after every slide unless you really want to, but. So there's a lot of interest in working at Tesla. We had 3 million job applications last year. So, sorry? Yeah, it's true. So a lot of interest in working at Tesla. Now, some people may occasionally have encountered a supercharger that didn't work. But in general, the uptime of our superchargers is extremely good. And we just try to make it super smooth. And because our superchargers are always connected, like the car is always connected, our feedback loop for fixing a supercharger is very quick. And obviously, we keep upgrading the supercharger capability. We're now at version 3. We'll start rolling out version 4, I don't know, maybe next year. So they just the superchargers get better and better. And who knows the. Yeah. Actually, I don't want to give away the. But let's just say that there's some cool stuff happening on the supercharging front. So. Alaska, yes. All right, well, we're basically doubling our supercharger count every year. So if there isn't a supercharger in some place that you think is important, it probably will be there soon. So we've also made a lot of progress on safety. So our cars are already the safest in the industry. So we have the lowest probability of injury of any cars ever tested by the U.S. government. We update this in real time. So because our cars are connected, this is a big difference. All the other cars, with rare exception, are not connected. So the manufacturers don't really know what happened in a crash. But in the case of Tesla, we are able to look at crashes and see how can we improve the safety and look at the crashes, improve the crash structure. We improve how the seat belts tension and how the airbags deploy. So in these updates, if we figure out, there's a slightly better way to deploy the airbags to improve the safety in a crash, we'll actually do an over-the-air update to improve the way that the airbags deploy or the way that the seat belt pre-tensions. And we're now starting to include Tesla Autopilot AI to be able to see if a crash is about to occur, and if it sees that a crash is about to occur with 99%+ probability, then it will activate the seatbelt pretensioners and deploy the airbags, as opposed to what the vast majority of cars do is the vast majority of cars are only able to deploy airbags when the crash is happening, and so that makes the airbag deployment a lot more violent. But if you can anticipate the crash, the airbag deployment can be much better than just impact. So, yeah. We're also seeing FSD beta grow very rapidly, and this is definitely going to go very exponential in miles driven. So we're now at over 40. Million miles, and I suspect by the end of this year we'll be, I don't know, well over 100 million miles. So, and we're still tracking very much to have widespread deployment of FSD beta this year in North America. So I should say if basically FSD beta will be available to anyone who requests it. By the end of this year. So, So AI Day Part 2, I think people will be blown away, but that's at the end of next month, so we'll leave that, except there's going to be a lot of cool stuff. So, Now, I'm sort of surprised that people, or at least like analysts out there, are not really understanding the importance of the Optimus robot. My guess is Optimus will be more valuable than the car than long term. And in fact, it'll, I think, turn the whole notion of what's an economy on its head. At the point at which you have no shortage of labor, an economy is GDP per capita. If you do not have a capita constraint, then the economy just can be arbitrarily huge. So, it's sort of crazy. Anyway, and thank you for voting. So, your vote matters, and it's great to have direct contact with individual shareholders. And thank you for voting to support our proposals. So. So the next decade, I wonder how many cars we'll have in 10 years. 10 years ago, we had less than 3,000 cars. Now we've made 3 million. 300 million. 300 million. I'd say 100 million is pretty doable. So, I'd be surprised if it's not over 100 million in 10 years. And then many other products, some of which you've heard about, some of which you have not. So, blurt it out. All right. So, we've got some questions from the internet that were voted to the top. So I'll answer these questions, and then we'll take just questions from the audience. So one of the questions is, how does Tesla intend to utilize cash in the coming years? Will we increase CapEx? Well, I guess you can read the question. Share buybacks, dividends, or acquisitions? Well, it's interesting. Like, Tesla has actually done very few acquisitions. Apart from the SolarCity acquisition, it was the only really big acquisition we did. And then the next largest would be Tesla Grohmann. But Tesla's actually used a remarkably small amount of its equity to do acquisitions compared to other companies. The vast majority of our growth, basically 90% of our growth, has been organic, which I think is actually a really good thing. If we do see interesting companies, we will acquire them. But it's quite rare for us to acquire a company. But we are interested in companies that are very good at manufacturing automation, software, AI, manufacturing technology in general, that kind of thing. We certainly will increase CapEx. We're actually spending we're spending CapEx money and R&D money as fast as we can do so without wasting it. So this is not a constraint. If we try to spend it any faster, we'd just be wasting money. So we're cranking hard on CapEx and R&D. Depending on what our future cash flow looks like, I think a sort of share buyback is possible. I wouldn't want to commit to that, but let's just make sure that there's not some force majeure event somewhere. I think we want to make sure we have plenty of capital, that future cash flow is looking very solid, and the world is relatively stable, and then I think share buyback is on the table. Yeah. So how many factories are necessary to achieve 20 million vehicles? I think probably roughly a dozen. So we're aiming for 1.5 to 2 million units per factory. Now, our factory in California, we're just running out of room, so it's hard to get more than maybe 700,000 or 800,000 vehicles a year out of there. Most places will be aiming for 1.5 to 2. So, a dozen sites. Although we are aiming for giant monolithic buildings. Cybertruck pricing. It was unveiled in 2019, and the. And the reservation was $99. So, a lot has changed since then. So the specs and the pricing will be different. I hate to sort of give a little bit of bad news, but I think there's no way to sort of haven't anticipated quite the inflation that we've seen and the various issues. But what I can say is that the Cybertruck will be one hell of a product, and it's going to be like a damn fine machine. So, yeah. And we're all tracking to be in production middle of next year from this factory. So that we're going to be installing the production equipment, tooling, and all starting in the next couple of months. We'll begin the installation. So aiming to be in volume production middle of next year. So. Now, what could possibly go wrong in answering this question? Oh, man. All right. So, I should just pass. Let me just say that, I hope for peace and respect. Fair enough. Yeah, good advice. We're deploying superchargers wherever we see the greatest need. Now, sometimes the greatest need is in some place that is extremely difficult to get permits. Getting a permit in Malibu was nuts. Like, it was next level. That took years. So some places are hard to get permits, and some places are easier. But we are aiming to just generally, we analyze the supercharger usage every day, and we prioritize supercharger locations according to where we see the greatest need. Maybe we should do an online poll for where should we put superchargers? That's good. Okay, we'll do that. With respect to amenities with superchargers, I think we'll do a couple of just fun things. Like, we're going to do a really fun supercharger location in LA. And the general vision is to have something that's like a futuristic, kind of like diner, sort of like, I don't know, Blade Runner meets Grease meets Jetsons. Yeah. Something cool, different, but with some style, where you can, get, some great food. And the one in LA, we're planning to have like these big screens at the supercharger location, and the screens will be aiming to show like the 100 greatest movie clips of all time, and so you can have a cheeseburger and charge your car and watch some cool stuff on the screen. It'll be open to others who are not, you can come to the restaurant even if you don't own a Tesla, but it'll be like a little gem, I think, there in LA. And then depending on how that goes, we might roll that out to a few other places. We'll try to do interesting, fun things that are not necessarily economically sensible, but they're cool. So, 4680. This is not an easy one to answer. We are making a decent number every week, and I think we'll be in high volume production by the end of this year. It's always difficult to predict. This is because a lot of new technology. What's the slope of the S curve on ramp? And except that I'm confident we will get to the high production rate, but it's probably end of this year before we get confidently to a high production rate. But this does not affect our vehicle output. We actually have enough battery cell supply from suppliers to make 1.5 million cars this year. So it's not a constraint on output. It will be important for next year. new mass plan is not yet ready. I don't know. Maybe aim to get it done this month. But like I said, it's going to be just looking at the big picture. What does it take to make Earth fully self-sustaining from an energy standpoint, and just map it out and say this is what needs to be done. Tesla will try to be as useful as possible in this regard, and hopefully lots of other companies can join in and help accelerate the sustainable energy revolution. So. With peak inflation behind us. So the inflation question is interesting because we do get a fair bit of insight into where prices of things are going over time. Because when you're making millions of cars, you have to purchase commodities many months in advance of when they're needed. So you need to tell, because it's a very long supply chain with a tremendous amount of inertia, so we sort of have some insight into where prices are headed over time. And the interesting thing that we're seeing now is that most of our commodities, most of the things that go into a Tesla, not all, but I don't know, more than half, the prices are trending down in six months from now. Now, this could change, obviously, but the trend is down, which suggests that we are past peak inflation. Now, making macroeconomic prognostications is a recipe for disaster, but my guess is that we are past peak inflation and that we will have a recession. I think it will be a relatively mild recession, sort of, but I'm just guessing here. This is total speculation. But I would guess it's a mild recession for, I don't know, 18 months or something like that. It would be my best guess right now. We don't have fundamental capital misallocations in the U.S. as we have had in the past, leading up to 2008, where we were building primary housing units at twice the rate of household formation, which obviously doesn't make sense. And there were a lot of companies that were over-levered. The leverage or debt that companies have right now is relatively low. I would say probably mild, moderate recession, maybe 18 months-ish. I think inflation is going to drop rapidly. That's my guess. I don't know. What do you guys think? Sound about right? Okay, great. All right, cool.
Yeah, the Tesla robot essentially changing the economy. How can we base an economy on automation, AI? With the full self-driving that's being implemented, you're going to have a full fleet of vehicles that can drive themselves. You'll have these robots that can go and get into your vehicle and place things. Will you be moving to a rental model, or how will you base a Tesla model on selling cars whenever these cars are fully automated, can drive wherever they would like, and hopefully would be applicable to having multiple people use the vehicle instead of just one person?
Yeah, so it's interesting to think about an autonomous car because, when you drive around, look at how many cars are parked. They're just parking lots full of cars everywhere because cars need a driver, and so most of the time they're doing nothing. Typically a passenger car is going to be 12 hours a week or something like that of usage. Now, if it's autonomous, maybe it can get to 50 or 60 hours of usage. Then that's sort of, four or five-fold improvement in the utility of a car. But the interesting thing is that the car still costs the same. So in that scenario, at least for some period of time, the effective gross margin on an autonomous car is kind of boggles the mind. In terms of how the cars will be operated, I think it would be, you'd have the option of owning a car, using a car just occasionally when you need it, like an Auto Uber or something like that. And there would be people, and then an owner of a car could decide that they want to use their car or they want to add or subtract it to the fleet. So I think it would end up being some kind of combination of like Airbnb and Uber or something like that. You know, so sometimes you can go all the way from owning it to renting it sometimes, to renting it a lot, to completely renting it. But the utility of the car will just be mind-blowingly great. And then, like I said, Optimus will really bring the future to now. So... Yeah, maybe. Maybe you could rent Optimus hourly. I mean, assuming we get all these things, we do all these things, I think probably Tesla will be the most valuable company in the world. So.
Elon, hi. We all know how the media treats you.
So well.
Yeah. So I don't have a question for you today. I just want to say on behalf of my six-year-old at home, Kyler Scott, that's watching right now, who thinks you're awesome as well, thank you for making the world a better place.
Thank you. Well, love you guys too. I mean, I just like to say thank you for helping make it happen. Because without the early adopters of electric vehicles and sort of full self-driving, Tesla would not be where it is today. So thank you for your support.
Sure. What a presentation! Thank you, Tesla team. It's an honor to be a stockholder. Elon, I brought you the final checkpoint for SpaceX, a mini moon. Maybe little X can play with it. My name is David Guajardo. I'm a former Brownsville resident. My first suggestion is to add a new steering mode option where the driver can select lazy mode and have the software accommodate between comfort, standard, and sport modes, depending on the speed the car is going. This will increase handling and safety. Second, when disengaging autopilot with the wheel, the accelerator stays on. Please fix it. Last one. Weeks ago, talking to Mr. Sam Patel at Starbase, I told him that the team should add a tab in the SpaceX website and disclose what type of skills and preparation are going to be needed from us to accomplish the greatest adventure ever, ever in human history, going to Mars.
All right. Well, thanks for the suggestions. Those are good suggestions. Thank you. All right.
Hi. So I do actually have a question, but one thing that I want to ask is, like, people ask you all the questions. What do you think people miss and should be excited way more about? And what do you think people are threatened way too much about and shouldn't be worried at all?
Yeah, that's a good point. The questions and ideas posed by retail investors, like small retail investors, like I think many of you in the audience, are actually the most insightful. I find it remarkable that essentially amateur, like normal everyday people, actually understand Tesla better than the analysts. I mean, you must see this as like that's like. And I mean, think like to really say like, well, like what's the point of a company is the point of a company is to create useful products and services. You know, a company should not exist in and of itself. It exists. It's a group of people gathered together to make products and services. And if those products and services are great, it's a valuable and useful company. And if they're not, it's not. And so really, to understand a company, you must use its products. And if you think the products are great, then it's, well, the company's great. That's it. That's how it is. And so I think, ironically, a lot of the people that sort of professional analysts don't drive Teslas. So I'm like, well, okay, you know, maybe you should. Yeah, cool. I mean, we aim to make Tesla the most amount of fun you can have in a car, you know? So, so let's see. So I think that there are a lot of really good and insightful ideas that I see on the internet, on Twitter and whatnot. And, Twitter. So let's see. I think sometimes people fret a bit too much about short-term things, that which are clearly just just bumps in the road type of thing, where there might be a supplier shortage or some shutdown in some part of the world. But really, those things are, you know, are clearly just kind of one-off items and don't really matter for the long term. The trend, if you like looking at the sort of cumulative output and cumulative miles driven, and you can see that cumulative output is a very clean exponential. So I guess sometimes people fret a little bit too much about this quarter or that quarter, but if you're a shareholder, a company is really like the net present value of future cash flows. And so what is one quarter is not really a big deal. I think if you see people panicking, then instead of saying, oh man, my stock's gone down, this is a buying opportunity. So.
Hi, Elon. Thanks for the meeting. I became a Marine because I want to help protect your future base on Mars. My friends and I are trained, and we support the mission. Would you be open to this idea?
Yeah, Space Marines, absolutely. Yeah.
Hi, Elon. A lot of Tesla's products today focus on electrical energy for a sustainable future. Do you foresee Tesla perhaps exploring thermal energy sustainable products other than HVAC? Like, say, for example, in this Gigafactory, taking the residual heat from the gigapresses and applying them to, say, the drying ovens in your paint line?
I think getting dual use of, like, if you use electricity to do something and then it generates heat and then you transporting that heat elsewhere within the factory, it's probably a good idea to do that, actually. It is a future optimization, but it is probably something worth doing in the factory, and it is something we do in the car. So in the car, we carefully manage the electrical and the thermal energy, and so, like, one of the ways that we achieve a long range in cold weather is by both charging the pack and heating the pack. And then the pack acts as both an electrical and a thermal reservoir to achieve long range even in very cold climates. And so we're constantly, within the car, shuttling heat back and forth between motor power electronics, pack, and the cabin volume. So that same concept should be applied to factory, I agree.
Elon, what's up, man? My name is Justin. Some know me as SMD Capital on Twitter. I had the number one voted question last earnings about scaling to extreme size. I have another big question I think a lot of people would want to know. In regards to when would Tesla launch their first pilot city for the Tesla network, the robo-taxi business?
Well, you see, I think it's actually going to be probably much more widespread than that, because Tesla is developing a general solution for self-driving, and it's not really specific to one city or location. Now, there's different regulatory requirements in various cities and states, so some locations will offer regulatory approval sooner than others, but we are aiming for a general solution. In fact, if you created a sort of a randomly generated alternate Earth, our system would still work. Like literally, you know, like you had some sort of computer generated Earth that, you know, obeyed roughly the same rules as current Earth. Our system is sufficiently generalized that it would work in a computer generated alternate Earth. So.
So, I'm Gary Black, managing partner of the Future Fund. Tesla's our largest position. Probably the thing we worry about most. It's not PR, but it's it's succession. So, you know, key man risk is a big thing. How does the board think about your succession, and especially when you have, you know, a judge is going to decide in a couple months whether or not you have to take over Twitter? How would you split your time?
Well, I think Tesla is definitely gathering a lot of momentum, and we have a very exciting product roadmap that will last a long time. So now, obviously, execution against that roadmap is difficult because these are not simple products. They're not copies of what anyone else is doing. They're new things. But I intend to stay with Tesla as long as I can be useful. I can be most useful, I think, on the product design and manufacturing. So basically factory design, product design, and manufacturing optimization. So we do have a very talented team here. So I think I think Tesla, you know, would continue to do very well even if I was kidnapped by aliens. or went back to my home planet, maybe. I think it's a good question, and I, to be frank, I don't have an easy answer. Open to ideas. I'm definitely working as hard as I can, and I'm very excited about the future of the company. I think it's got a very bright, very bright future, even without me. I'm not leaving, though, to be clear. I obviously have to be a little careful about what I say about Twitter, because there's this like lawsuit and stuff. So sometimes people get bent out of shape. But I do use Twitter a lot, so it's not like I'm like randomly going around wanting to acquire companies or something. I'm not like a hedge fund. I'm not a hedge fund or a private equity firm or something. So, in fact, the only two publicly traded securities I own are Tesla and Twitter. That's it. So, I think in the case of Twitter, since I use it a lot, shoot myself in the foot a lot, you know, dig my grave, etc. I think it's... I do understand the product quite well, so I think I've got a good sense of where to point the engineering team at Twitter to make it radically better. I do sort of have a grander vision for what I thought X.com or X Corporation could have been back in the day. It's a pretty grand vision, and And obviously that could be started from scratch, or, but I think Twitter would help accelerate that by 3 to 5 years. So it's kind of like something I've thought would be quite useful for a long time. I know what to do. Don't have to have Twitter for that, but it would. It's like I said, it's probably at least a 3-year accelerant. And I think it's something that will be very useful to the world. So.
How's it going, Elon? My name's Ronnie. And with the projected release of the robotaxi coming in the years ahead, would it be looked at as the Boring Company? Would it be used to get regulation for full self-driving? And would it be a good venue for the robotaxi? Also, my little brother Zane says hi, owns all Tesla Hot Wheels.
Okay, cool. Well, I said hi to him back. Boring Company is making good progress, actually. For the longest time, I'd give a talk somewhere, and people say, what are opportunities you know about? I was like, tunnels. And they'd be like, for 5 years, I said, if somebody could just do a tunneling company, we can solve traffic, and we could have also very high-speed transport between cities. Because while I'm a fan of trains, and I like high-speed trains, they do intersect go through towns and neighborhoods and chop people's property in half, and they're very loud. So, but I want to be clear, I'm pro-train. Sometimes the train people, I take every opportunity to go on interesting trains. But if you have a sort of a much simplified version of the Hyperloop, it's really just Teslas in a tunnel that's depressurized. You can go between cities super fast, and without disrupting the stuff above ground. So that's kind of the vision for the Boring Company, is to make roads 3D and have sort of an arbitrary number of layers of roads. And I think you can solve essentially any traffic problem in any city if you go 3D with tunnels, so multiple layers of tunnels going from, connecting the city. And you can also turn a lot of the streets into parks, because you won't need them. You won't need to have cars on the roads. You won't need parking. So I think Boring Company, I think, is capable of much more transformation than it may seem. And we actually have an operational tunnel in Vegas right now. So, yeah, if you go to Vegas, go to Resorts World, and you can hop in the tunnel and go to the convention center, and you can pay in Doge. Exactly. I'm doing what I can to support Doge. So. I think Boring Company is going to do some pretty interesting things in the years to come. So let's see.
Good afternoon, Elon. I think many people share my experience. I gave you, or at least Tesla, my complete family's legacy because I believed in it. And thank you for you and your company outperforming. I think you saved a lot of us. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
So my question is this. Commercial aircraft have something called ACAS, where aircraft relay telemetry of their position between one another to prevent a collision.
Yeah, sometimes too much telemetry.
Yes. Thank you. So taking this to a higher level, do you see Teslas communicating with one another and Dojo turning into some kind of ultimate air traffic control for Tesla supply chains and robotaxi? Thank Ooh. You.
Actually, that's an interesting idea. I haven't thought about that. Right now, our goal with Dojo is just to be really good at video training. So we actually already have, I think, maybe the fourth and maybe approaching the third most powerful computing center in the world for AI training. I think it might be third at this point, which obviously uses just an enormous number of GPUs and stuff. So our first goal with Dojo is to make it competitive and be more effective at neural net training than a whole bunch of GPUs. We might get there soonish. And then, of course, it can be used for many other neural net training tasks. It's a fundamentally, it's a computer designed from the ground up to be optimized for neural net training, which really no computer has, no, that's never been done before. And then maybe it'll do just traffic control. I haven't really thought of that. The Teslas probably, there'll be some merit to communicating, for Teslas to communicate to each other, but that won't be needed for full self-driving at all. And for a long time, the vast majority of cars on the road will be manually driven. So the value of Tesla to Tesla communication is not that high, except for perhaps communicating traffic issues or accidents, potholes, things that may be helpful to road closures and that kind of thing. So it's like you're getting real time. A Tesla ahead of you has seen a road closure, and you get that real time updated to your car, so you don't get stuck in the road closure situation. That's the kind of stuff that I think we are working on right now. So, all right.
We have one last question, and it's yours.
Thank you very much. Hello, Elon.
Hey.
Simply, I would just like to say thank you for everything you have done for Earth and the community and everything you've done. I have one question, and aside from working for Tesla, being a shareholder, or purchasing a Tesla, how can the masses help push your vision?
All right, well, I think just generally, encouraging sustainable energy and being supportive of that, I think is really helpful. But I say, you're doing great so far. Like I said, without your support, Tesla wouldn't be where it is. So as people like yourself and everyone in this room and out there, and the 3 million people who've bought our cars, and the millions who've gotten solar, and that all really helps make the world a better place for the future. I'd like to sort of convey a message of optimism about the future, if we work really hard to accelerate sustainable energy, sustainable transport, the future will be good. I think just make sure people know that. I'm not suggesting complacency at all. I'm literally saying if we work hard towards a sustainable future, we will achieve it. And the future is bright. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks guys, thank you. Thank you.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.